are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
He must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm.
It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
Slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd's starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Then steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try. Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Chris, look, like in life and sport, random actions, that random activities play a big part in everything. And I was just listening to that intro, and that intro just inspires me every single week, Chris. And I realised with all those open wounds and the blood flowing, we've lost one of, well, not lost, we've waylaid one of our great sports people, Tim Zhu, with just that simple elbow to the head, which cut his head open, and subsequently he can't box anymore until that bloody thing heals up. Any thoughts on that?
A butterfly beats its wings, or an opponent drops his elbow.
Yes.
And suddenly, and a career is in stasis, Stephen.
Totally. And I
you
know
quite like the boxing, the sweet science, don't you? You're a fan.
It builds up and releases tension, Chris.
Is that right?
Much like rugby league, every time I watch my team play, I go, Christ, get this over and done with sometimes.
We do need to get you in a room with Peter Fitzsimons to go three
Bash
rounds.
Some sense into me.
Or have a debate about it, at least.
Right. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Chris, I know that you don't like Origin Month, really, for a number of reasons. You love it when you go there and you watch the game, and there's plenty to talk about, but not much to talk about in rugby league generally. But we found heaps today. Heaps.
Yeah, but it's hard work, Stephen. You've got to forensically go through the nooks and crannies of the rugby league media to find anything worth discussing, which...
Is that all we're good for? Well, pulling out the bins of rugby league media and then finding out the morsels.
We are going through the trash, Stephen.
Yeah,
and people would argue whether it's worth us doing that on a week-by-week basis, but we do. But yes, Origin so dominates the narrative, Stephen. As I keep saying, it's either if New South Wales play good, they'll win.
Yes.
And it's heartwarming... backstories of the players. The Astonisher ran a 17 or 18 piece article on all the Origin Blues backstories, but the one that's getting most carriage at the moment is the Olakau'atu on the run.
Oh yeah,
I think from the Tongan authorities. If
what's,
I read
what's
that,
he done wrong this week?
Well, his whole family's been on the run, but it's heartwarming because he's out there tomorrow night, yeah. Stephen, representing New South Wales
and Payne Haas.
Payne Haas.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's got the load of the world on his shoulders, he has.
And again, you get a heartwarming story about him raising his brothers in the wake of the alleged beyond misdemeanours of both his mother and his father.
And we try to sort of like, you know, refine the themes that are happening in State of Origin, particularly, you know, with the, you know, us versus them, New South Wales versus Queensland Blue, you know, cockroaches and cane toads, et cetera, et cetera. And it would appear that Madge is not what you'd call a man for the finer things in life. He's a grunt guy. He's a straight up the middle guy. He's Cameron McInnes would represent like Paul Gallen used to in the old days. And on the other side, of course, you've got Baryshnikov with Reece Walsh, that sort of story. But suddenly the New South Wales one, it's all about class. Their behaviour is classy.
Yeah.
It sort of goes against the grain, doesn't it?
If I was looking for a theme for this year, Stephen, I'm taken to the movie, gosh, I think it involved Dan Aykroyd, Jamie Lee Curtis and...
The Millionaires and the Planes and the... What else was there?
Eddie Murphy, Trading Places.
Oh, Trading Places.
Suddenly New South Wales is all about spirit, loyalty, hardworking, not flashy.
Yeah.
And they're underdogs.
Yeah.
And Queensland is full of vim, ver, vigour,
yes,
and Reece Walsh.
Ballet dancers and singers.
They are unbackable favourites.
Wow. Okay. And this is all happening, of course, in Blue Country.
It is out at Acor tomorrow Stadium, night. Homebush tomorrow night. Okay.
But, you know, as I said, we finessed the garbage bin of rugby league media and we found something from Corey Parker's wife. What is her name, Chris?
Mrs. Parker.
Mrs. Parker goes to the goes to the wedding, right? It's her wedding night.
Wasn't that an Outcast song? Oh, that was Miss Jackson. Sorry, that's right.
Miss Jackson. Yeah. And somehow she's because I think she's got a role in media.
She's a radio personality, Stephen. Something neither you or I are. I mean, you're on the radio, but not necessarily a personality.
A personality. So Corey Parker's wife chooses this week to reveal Cora's wedding night corridor feed. But first, it said gross act in hotel wedding night. You thought, this is going to be ugly.
What's well, I clicked on that. Immediately.
Oh, Margot says, I got a story from our wedding night. Margot began. My husband, Mr. Parker, as we were coming down the hallway of the hotel to enter our room, someone had left their room service out in front of the room once they'd finished with it. You might be able to guess what can happen next, Chris, you know. Corey picked up and ate half an already eaten BLT sandwich. Now, that's like Homer Simpson, right? Why put it to waste when it's good quality food in the corridor?
Yep.
Unclaimed.
Yes.
I said, don't you dare. And he picked it up. Of course, you know, the Queenslanders were tittering like fools, weren't they, when they heard this story, right? Put that little silver tray back down on the thing and picked up the BLT and munched on it, she added. He ate somebody else's room service that had already been half consumed. What an animal. Now, Corey Parker never seems like an animal to me. He seems like quite a refined young fellow.
Well, I wonder if this is partly in response to the fact that you asked me who from the Fox League coverage is dispensable, and I nominated Corey Parker a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, well, okay.
So we're trying to get his
name. He's clawing back some ground, is he? Back, courtesy of his wife.
Back on and Stephen, I don't know what it was like on your wedding nights, but
and I was like, who hasn't done that?
And foreplay is something that I'm apparently not expert in.
No.
But hotel corridor food as an entree to the main event on the wedding night, it's an interesting approach.
Yeah, it depends on what you do on your wedding night. I know many people that go on and go to dance parties till dawn, you know. So they probably come home at 7 o'clock going, gee whiz, I'm still peckish now, you know, or I'm not peckish at all.
But the latter more likely.
No insinuation intended.
And look, I don't want to condemn Corey for this behaviour because, first of all, as you've highlighted, it's free.
Yes, right.
It's in a hotel of no doubt some repute, so the quality should be
okay. Quality should be okay.
And also,
though it might have cost $40 for a BLT or a super sandwich.
Which automatically further, I think, permits the behaviour.
Yeah.
Because that if you went back and ordered a fresh BLT from your room because you were peckish before the big event, that's going to stop, as you say, put you back $40. So this is high quality, free, and really, really more valuable than what its street value is. It's really interesting to think of that at hotel food. You know, that's where the markup is. I mean, am I saying that hotel operators are drug dealers? I think I am.
I think you might. And also, let's face it, probably in Brisbane, Oz Harvest doesn't exist. And that wasn't thought of then, you know, so it just gets dumped straight away. So he's doing the right thing. We'll talk about Corey Parker and his sort of, I guess, his culinary skills in a little while with regard to PVL. And talking about the media, Chris.
But Corey has form, Stephen.
Oh, does he?
He does have form. And we were able to get out of the audio archives a discussion about a previous incident between Corey and here he is chatting with Sam Thaiday about it.
Right. You find yourself in the kitchen. You see an eclair in the receptacle and you think to yourself, what the hell, I'll just eat some trash.
No. It was not trash.
Was it in the trash?
Yes.
Then it was trash.
But it wasn't down in. It was sort of on top.
But it was in the cylinder.
Above the rim.
Adjacent to refuse is refuse.
It was in a magazine, and it still had the doily on.
Was it eaten?
One little bite.
Well, that's garbage.
Well, I don't think Corey fits that set of circumstances, do you? It was somebody else's food, not garbage. Or is that garbage? How long does, you know, the old, I've dropped it for, and 20 seconds is, and then you can eat it, you know?
Yeah, some people sort of say 3 seconds.
I'm not a fan of rugby league, but I love fire up.
Now, talking about trash and things that should be taken out, Sweet Caroline, the great song from Hot August Night from Neil Diamond from, what, 1970, I'm guessing here, 8? A golden year for a lot of music.
Gee, Hot August Night feels like about 1973 to me.
Maybe this earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he had not heard Brian Eno yet, nor Devo, you know, nor Bowie. So therefore, you can't blame the man for writing Sweet Caroline, can you?
Along with Crunchy Granola Sweet. Now, yeah. Look, I'm going to get out in defence of Neil Diamond. He did a wonderful album called 12 Songs with Rick Rubin.
Oh, yes, and he did some great stuff for the Monkees.
Great American songwriter. Yeah, yeah, I'm a believer.
Yes, I'm a believer too, Chris.
But, yes, certainly one of the ubiquitous albums along with Dark Side of the Moon.
Yes, yes.
In those mid to late 70s was Hot August Night. That was really, it was a big deal 50 years ago,
yeah.
Stephen.
But you can't imagine him thinking then, yeah, the not just the NRL, but every other sporting competition in the world, and Jim Beam commercials and whatever else is going to flog the living daylights out of this song, much like I'm sure Pink Floyd didn't think the same thing when I'm a Gummer came out. There was going to be a cornflakes commercial one day. You know,
I was, as part of Vivid Steven, saw the Devo documentary.
Oh, you did, did you?
And they made reference to the fact that they see themselves as pioneers who got scalped. Right. And I feel very much, because this article written by a certain man called David Free in the Herald on the weekend about the ubiquity of Sweet Caroline and how it's really making him miserable is a campaign we've prosecuted for many, many years, Stephen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's finally seeing the light of day, but I'm somehow bitter that we're not acknowledged for our contribution to it.
To killing it.
Because do you remember when Tipper Gore ran that campaign about songs that should be banned,
yes,
because of their lyrical concerns, and ended up with those parental advisory stickers. And we had artists like Sheena Easton,
yes,
who should be banned, along with Twisted Sister and
yep.
the like.
Yep.
Let's think of that list that Sweet Caroline sits on top of.
Well, I'm also asking you, you know, when he went to, I think, was it the Senate in America, what would Frank Zappa do with Sweet Caroline? Ban it. Wouldn't he? What would his take be?
Yeah, so Frank Zappa spoke for musical freedom and the ability for everybody to listen to what they like, with certain exceptions.
Because you know, like when someone says happy birthday, you go, oh, God, we got to sing along happy birthday, and you got to do the whole thing, right? Same with Sweet Caroline. You know you got to sing along, and then obviously there's the dropout where you go boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, well, I
and
won't.
You feel like you're forced into it.
Well, then
you won't do it.
Massive.
You don't stand during the anthem, do you?
Hey, listen, I'm a progressive, but I'm not an idiot. I want to enjoy myself.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, in the current political environment, if you don't stand during the anthem, Stephen, you're not going to have a good
and
night.
And it's the only time you... How tall are you again, Chris?
196.
The people don't go, sit down in front, big fella.
That's right. Get on your feet.
You get on your feet.
If you are able. But and look, let's be clear here, Stephen. We're not asking for the absolutely excision of these musical works from the diaspora.
No, we want freedom of choice.
Yeah, that's right. It's context, though, Stephen.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at songs like You're the Voice, if you look at songs like Horses, you, particularly Seven Nation Army, you've got a bit of a...
Every time I hear it on the telly, I think, mate, talk about lazy.
Right. So Devo famously said, freedom of choice is what we've got,
yes.
But it seems that freedom from choice is what we want. Society's devolving, hello Donald Trump, and we end up, and apparently it started at a 1997 Red Sox game in celebration of a fan's daughter who'd just been born, who, get this, called Caroline.
Caroline, yeah.
No, in fact, the name was Karen. It was a mistake.
Yes.
Right. But are we condemned that every single sporting fixture held in this country, nay, all around the world, to hear the same half dozen tunes?
Yeah, yeah. And Chris, when it comes to freedom of choice, I draw the line of people saying we have to stop saying the best. By Tina Turner, that's got to stay.
No, no, well, you said anthem, Stephen. Yep. It's appropriate,
yes.
Probably not at State of Origin, that they play the national anthem, because it's not, Australia's not versing anyone. Versing, it's happening to me. Australia's not playing anyone. But the best is a rugby league anthem, and is entirely appropriate and should be played, Stephen, at the end of the game.
Only.
When they were doing this in Vegas, where they dropped in the Manly Rabbits game, the best 15 minutes into the first half.
And then you've got to cut it short.
Shocking.
Shocking,
sacrilege, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we applaud Mr. Free for his sentiment.
Right. Now, talking about, choices, et cetera, there's a bun fight going on as who's going to be the four teams going to Las Vegas next year.
Yeah.
Of course, that hasn't been revealed, I don't think, has it, Chris?
It hasn't, but it's a money grab soon.
Okay. And what do you have to do to get in that short order?
Suck up to Peter Valentis.
Right, okay. Now, there's a lot of manoeuvres, though, big-time manoeuvres, and Peter loves nothing more than dealing with big end of government, doesn't he? Big end of town business, etc. And now we find that DFAT is stepping in for the Canberra Raiders, not because the Oval is run by the Raiders out of Las Vegas, but for other murky reasons, we think.
Well, yes, so the Raiders are in the conversation, as are the Warriors, because, they represent the New Zealand market. apparently they're in the conversation to go because of their high-level government relationships, particularly with, and it was again reported in the press, yep, as the Department of Foreign Trade and Affairs,
yes,
which, yeah, I don't know, rugby league players, a whole department are devoted to affairs, sounds like a dangerous thing to me. But
do they... Foreign Affairs and the Canberra Raiders eat at the same cafe down the road?
Well, apparently, according to a friend of the show, Dennis Carnahan, their buildings, administrative buildings, are in the same street.
Same street. Okay, right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Very convenient.
Yeah. Michael Caine's probably there too, right? Yeah.
And, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is that this is some sort of compensation for their contribution to the Albanese Doctrine. We've highlighted money for Leichhardt for the submarines.
Yes.
Obviously, Papua New Guinea. Thank you again, Andrew Webster, for the coverage. We appreciate that.
Yep.
Spreading all the way up to Taiwan. Right. There's no doubt that the Canberra Raiders are emissaries. It'll be on diplomatic work. You know that there's been those TV series like Pan Am,
yep,
that are a great way to smuggle state secrets with through flight attendants.
Right. So someone's going to look at Rick and go, nothing suspicious
that's
here.
Right. They're going to go, a bunch of rugby league players.
In you come, sir.
And they'll be coming with so much intelligence about Huawei and the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes.
And they'll probably be meeting with President Trump.
Yes, yes. Trump, can we talk about him for a quick second?
Please.
Sorry. Talking about secrets, etc. He wanted to ban TikTok because it's actually owned by the Chinese government, right?
Yes.
Lo and behold, he's going, I'm going to sign up to TikTok because I want the kiddies, the kiddies vote.
Yeah.
And what does he do? Not quite your end of town. He turns up to a UFC game and TikToks it.
And the...
Are they called games?
UFC events.
Events, right.
Yes.
Of course. Theatrical events.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, they loved him.
They did.
There's nothing sacred. At UFC, I ask you.
If Dana White isn't the head, the owner of UFC, isn't made the federal minister for sport in the United States, I'm not good at predicting things.
So you heard it from us, the murky maneuvering machinations of Canberra and the Raiders to get
I never
to Vegas.
Trusted the Raiders, Stephen. And I mean, they're, as I think we'll continue to explore, they're just so entwined with the political swamp, if I can call it that, down in Canberra.
Yeah.
I hate to think that Vegas isn't actually promulgating the interests of rugby league, it's promulgating the interests of a political agenda and, of course, gambling.
Yes, right. Well, talking of the Chinese, Chris, and TikTok, last night I happened to be driving past the Taiwanese embassy in somewhere near Woollahra that way, and suddenly I heard the lights went on and everyone was erupting with joy, balloons were being flown in the air and firecrackers were going off. What happened last night?
Australia beat China.
Oh, did they? Jeez.
In a football friendly out at Acor Stadium, which is very busy this week.
Hang on, a friendly, did you say?
Yeah, it's a friendly.
It's between Australia and China.
That's right.
Right, I know some people didn't think it was going to be a friendly, did they?
No.
What was the score?
Two blot
to
the Matildas.
Yep. Right. No Sam?
No.
She's out for the whole year, isn't she?
Sam's done.
Gone for Paris as well.
Yeah, she's out for the foreseeable future, Stephen. But Taiwan, very, very happy, though. Is it right that they had a Elbow Wes Outcash sign
of course,
out the front?
You're going to give some to Papua New Guinea?
That's right, you give some to Leichhardt?
Okay, the Solomons, you lost. What about us?
Hey, if there's someone who's facing the Chinese mainland, it's Taiwan.
Yes.
And I think that they are absolutely rife to have a 30,000-seater stadium for Taiwan Tornadoes.
And do we get first access to the A1 chips from NVIDIA? Is that what happens?
It is semiconductor heaven there, Stephen.
Yes.
It's strategically absolutely vital.
Yeah.
And if you could attenuate a rugby league stadium and team,
yes,
you know, the superconductor supermen or something like that,
yes,
then you're onto something.
Yeah, the world is our oyster, Chris. And if it wasn't for the fact that we've got many billionaires at South Sydney, Albo would be passing money to South Sydney as well, wouldn't he?
Well,
he doesn't need to.
There is a thing called the Senate's Reviews and Estimates Committee, Stephen.
Okay. Well, checks and balances, Chris.
Excuse me, Prime Minister. I want to refer to this consolidated revenue.
Yeah.
There's simply a number of line items saying Heffron Park here. Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah. Now, look, there was a note of sadness. I caught the news earlier and then the news later about this soccer game,
yes,
as we call it, and the Matilda Maidens, the youngsters that head out there. And they have to stay up to, 9:30 at night or something, you know?
Well, I don't think it was done till after 10 o'clock.
o'clock.
It was pretty late.
And the demographic, right? Average female is around about, 12, maybe 10, 9. Now, I'm just wondering, has it finally dawned on them how piss boring it is? You know, after no noise, no scoring, just 2-0.
Well, our producer, Mash, was out there working away as he does, and he said he couldn't hear any discernible noise coming out of the stadium.
Right.
Maybe just a murmur when they kicked a couple of goals. But this is the big challenge that football continues to face. Strip away a premise like a World Cup, and all you got left is the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there'll be 30,000 up at McDonald Jones Stadium on Thursday night for Women's Origin, and they'll keep coming back because it's a good game.
But will the 80,000 keep coming back to soccer for a friendly?
If you ask,
I don't think so.
If you ask those 80,000, hey, free tickets for next week, they go, look, we're fine.
Look, we're done. Yeah, okay. And, you know, what are the chances in Paris Olympics? I don't think great, Chris.
For rugby league? It's going to be a very soccer. Very quick turnaround, but I haven't given up.
Is union still involved?
Oh, some reduced format, some kick and giggle, I think they call it, sevens or something.
Now, the exciting news of the week. I've been holding this off, Chris.
Here we go.
Peter Volandis, right? Does he ever sleep? There's no rush, is there?
Well, it's highlighted that he runs two sports.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on in Canberra, but have they, a la Dolly the Sheep, have they been able to finally clone humans? But there are more than
Dolly
one.
The Sheep.
There's more than one Volandis.
Yeah, let's see if we can spot him in two different functions at the same time.
Right.
So somehow he's up to his armpits, of course, in the racing industry trying to sell off Rose Hill, right?
22,000 dwellings.
And there's a battle. Gay Waterhouse. Eh?
I don't follow it closely, Stephen, but he's the head of racing and he's trying to get rid of a race course. Does that work?
Yeah. But they're going to make a lot of money.
Well.
But the real reason is he's going to do right by the community who we need housing.
Uh-huh.
We need housing, Chris.
Well, it's a solution.
There'll be 500 million homes built there.
Would you like to live at Rose Hill?
Up high, yes.
Parramatta fans, would that be right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And I know there was a local MP that said it'll be a ghetto. I don't know what sort of ghetto she's been to, but there you go.
Probably Waterloo.
Probably Waterloo. That's changing fast, Chris. Yeah.
If that's a ghetto, Stephen, I'm quite happy with that.
And ghettos keep the place honest. It's the only place where the rents at least are stable.
Listen, we're always looking for the way that sport can contribute to art.
Exactly.
And so much great art has came out of ghettos. We need a couple more in this town.
Well, Black Douglas and what's his name? The rapper from Waterloo.
Yeah, but there's very little coming out of the streets of Waterloo and Redfern these days, Stephen. Continues to be gentrified.
Yes,
we need to artificially create ourselves some ghettos.
So many forces at work.
Straight out of Rose Hill.
But not only is he running the rugby league and he's knee deep in that, of course, State of Origin, and he'll be there tomorrow night. He's also bought a television outfit. Network, is it a network or is it just one station?
It was a production company, Stephen.
Okay. Global Advanced Television.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say it all?
That, to me, sounds like a company that almost exclusively work for fringe religious organisations.
Or
promotional videos.
If we change our name to Global Advanced Fire Up, I reckon he'll stump up for us too. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, it was $5 million. You put Fire Up in the name and it'd probably be about $3 million.
Exactly, yeah. So, obviously, I can see the advantages. Las Vegas, he could start to film all the works, much like the AFL tried many years ago.
Well, we've got anti-siphoning laws, Stephen, but they haven't really bit in relation to rugby league.
Okay.
And we're
even if it's offshore.
That's right. So we're seeing a rump on the, if he's going to be around for much longer, Mike Sneesby network of rugby league. Most of it's on Cable Fox, right?
Yes,
that's where you see everything, except for the Origin and Grand Final. PVL TV.
Is that still owned by that bloke who's just had his seventh wedding?
Fifth.
Fifth wedding, is it?
What do you call him? An oligarch. He's marrying
the oligarch's ex-wife. He's done the Chinese. He's done the Russian.
And it leaves just North Korea.
That's it. North Korea to come.
Though who the candidates are for the six Mrs. Murdoch in North Korea, it's hard to know.
Do they have a Miss North Korea competition? I'm just wondering. I've never seen one. Would that be on PVL television?
Well, you wouldn't know because they don't really want you in there having a look, Stephen.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So
Rupert's still there very much in Fox League.
Okay.
But the idea of PVL TV, where you further privatise the content and the only place you can see the National Rugby League in the future is on PVL TV. It's not fantasy, Stephen. I think it's an impending reality.
Just business, Chris.
It's just business.
And this applies.
Well, that's what he is, Stephen. He's a businessman.
Yeah. This applies to Papua New Guinea as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
If there's a strategic political objective and advantage on top of that, so be it.
As we've all seen with Foxtel, there's a lot of guff, right?
Well.
So you've got to fill up 24/7 all through the year with stuff, right? So, okay, so you've got your racing.
Right.
You've got your rugby league.
That's your core product.
What else would you put on there?
Well, if you think using Fox League as an example, Vonnie Sampson, Jake Duke doing wonderful work on Face to Face.
Fantastic, yeah.
I think you'd actually have Peter Volandis Face to Face.
Yeah.
And
is this like, Television Super Wars, where he'd be poaching from Fox?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah,
he's in direct opposition to
God
Fox.
Almighty, what a fight.
Yeah. And so he'll get his guests, yeah. like, let's, for argument's sake, say Gordon Tallis crosses over his yes. post or whatever, and he goes, welcome to face-to-face with Peter Volandis. Yeah. Tell me, Gordy, when did you first start gambling?
Yeah, right. So you put the two together.
That's right. Okay. Right. So I think that there are those sorts of shows. There'll be the inevitable panel shows, yes, about racing and rugby league, but why not politics?
True, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you would draw on that Canberra Raider connection again.
Mal, of course, Big Mal.
Mal would host the show.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have
Paul. And would we be giving the pointers for young upstarts in politics?
Yeah, that's right. So you draw on the proud history that rugby league has
and
politically.
And his great punditry.
Yes. Paul Osborne, of course.
Paul Osborne. Who could forget Paul?
Glenn Lazarus.
Oh, Glenn.
The Brick with Eyes.
With Palmer.
Well, and Independent.
Independent.
You know, ended up like Jackie Lambie saying, I've had enough of that.
He can dance, can't he?
He saw it. We can do a cartwheel, Stephen. And you've got Mike Cleary, of course, for those who've got long memories. And what a wonderful competitor he was. Okay. And Dishad Dowling had a bit of a tilt at the right wing. I tell you what, though, Stephen.
So this is a show like Insiders?
It's exactly like Insiders. Okay. But there is a challenge here, Peter Volandis. If you're all about a sport being diverse and inclusive, we need to bring through our first wave of female NRLW/politicians.
Yes, okay. That's a big ask. If any man can do it, he can do it. Would Roy Masters get a shot too?
I put Jessica Sergis as my first candidate. She's very electable. Roy Masters would add a sort of an intellectual sheen to the proceedings, but they'd probably be better off with Chris Masters.
Imagine both. The brothers in rugby league too.
Masters pieces. That would be a great show. What about
like Papua New Guinea? Masters pieces.
What about a reality format, Stephen? Like Hooker Wants a Wife.
Right. Yeah. So, an actual rugby league hooker wants
correct.
A wife. Yeah,
so you can because the great thing I feel about Farmer Wants a Wife, and I'm a fan.
Because the hookers are ugly.
Right. So the farmers don't go on because they're going to get media careers or become social influencers. They're genuinely
they
looking to
wife.
Get married.
Right? Yeah.
So you can imagine someone like Cam McGuinness. Yeah. Now, I don't know what his personal circumstances are right now.
Yeah.
But when they put his profile online, it'll be very interesting to see what women respond.
Is that the selling point, Chris? Cam's right. face all bloody with no teeth.
And then, you know, they
and eight stitches.
They basically move into Shark Park.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've got a little bed sit there.
Oh, my God. And it and still smells, doesn't it?
And suddenly he's dating eight prospective women who want to be, you know, we'll talk about Reed Marnie, no doubt. I mean, who wants to marry that guy? Yeah. Because there's tension. Farmer wants a wife. The women's pretending they want it or saying they want to marry.
Don't they say that's God's great plan and for every woman there's a bloke?
Well, there's a show.
Okay. Now, we can go back to Corey Parker. Cooking tips, you know, bubble and squeak. Your leftovers made into something special by Corey Parker.
My dear sweet mother is no longer with us, Stephen, and just a shout out to Leonie. Yeah. It's absolutely fine. She it was a frugal woman, very much interested in a good deal.
Yeah.
Love going to Las Vegas because you get cheap food and didn't have to gamble.
Right.
Just with all the coupons. She could write a book living in the Sydney CBD on $10 a week.
Wow.
Corey could do how to eat on very little money.
Yes.
And all the techniques of foraging and hotel corridors,
bins. So you just got to look the part by somehow getting in and getting an access to a floor, any floor, that'll have those trolleys.
There used to be a great market with annual general meetings, Stephen. You just pretend you're a shareholder by putting on a suit.
Yes.
And come hear some CEO pontificating about the share price.
What do you
and
do?
There's catering.
Ah, free coffee,
that's
free
right.
juice.
Yeah. And Corey could rate the various hotels.
Okay.
He goes, these are the BLTs I've eaten.
Yeah.
Or,
it'd be like the chaser. Which hotels can I get into? Can't get into.
And then it evolved because hotels would be briefed. Okay, here comes.
They're coming.
Here comes the scavenger Parker. Yeah. And he'd have to try and evade them.
Because there's great stories about that, you know, that great interloper that gets on the guest list of everything.
Yeah, the guy who runs onto the field with all the sporting things. Oh, that guy. You know,
what's his name again?
You know,
The serial pest.
Well, Peter Hoare.
You know? Peter Hoare.
And you'd have a GoPro stretched to Corey's head and he goes, oh, they're coming in hither. Because they're running after him. Okay. He's clutching a half-drunk Coke.
I would like to see a revival of Rexona Sports Person of the Year when Billy the Frown, Billy Slater, won it every year.
Yeah, dominated that format, but in PVL TV, it would just be jockeys and league players.
Yeah. And you've heard my gripe about Gogglebox, haven't you?
Please.
Well, Gogglebox was great because it showed true democracy at work where people would go, and of course it's not beholden to the company that owns the TV network, to say whatever they want about somebody else on television.
Armchair critics.
Yeah, and often it's about the opposing television channels.
Yeah.
You know, so suddenly, you know, there's, I don't know, what a
So, Gogglebox is on Channel 10 and they're watching Maths, which is on
exactly.
Channel 9.
Yeah, yeah. And they, they got these people, these idiots sitting on couches, chomping away their chocolates and whatever, just going, oh, that's, you know, Warnie's a goose. What's he doing here? You
Who's that pelican?
Yeah, that pelican. That chimpanzee or whatever. No offense to the animals, Chris. And I love that. And I think that was the strength of the show. And what they didn't get was they think those people were stars.
Yeah, well, that was the problem, wasn't it?
The same nitpicking husband and wife team, the same, you know, two old larger ladies and, not interesting. New people all the time.
No. So if you finesse that format and applied it on PVL TV.
Yes.
The Gogglebox would be NRL referees watching NRL games and absolutely giving it to the referees.
Wouldn't that be great?
Because in our world, they're beyond reproach. They can't be criticised. They can't be referred to. And they go, look at that idiot. That was clearly offside. What? A blocker? You're kidding me.
So you sign a non-disclosure or whatever, you know.
And the one thing you can guarantee in that format, Stephen, those referees will never become celebrities.
Never. But the format works. And finally, Chris, I think that on this variety show, we've often talked about Reece Walsh and as everybody else has, is the golden boy. You know, he's the Justin Bieber of rugby league. We know he can dance like Baryshnikov. He can move. He's fast. He's pretty. He's got eyeliner. He's got pink shoes. The whole works.
Is the Estee Lauder spokesperson or is it Ralph Lauren? One of those.
Ralph Lauren, I think. Yeah. And so he's obviously your game changer right at the top there.
So Peter Verland is recent days has been talking a lot about demographics, Stephen, and he's been talking about. I'm slightly uncomfortable about this, by the way. He's been talking about young demographics.
Oh, yeah.
And female demographics.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, I'm particularly interested in young female demographics.
Is that right, Chris?
And he says, because, look at my daughter, had no interest in rugby league until Reece Walsh turned up. Yeah. Now he's on the wall.
Yes.
And what I believe he wants to do is to turn Reece Walsh into the NRL's first crossover superstar.
Poster boy.
Verlani said, all I just need to do is teach him to sing and then it'll be the complete package.
Oh, I see. So use the TV. Because the old days it would have been TV week, you might have a centrefold, right?
Yeah.
No, not anymore.
No.
So he goes, was it the Global Advanced Television Network? Or studio.
PVL TV.
That's right, yeah. And Reece is the man.
So he would be, dare I say, if we looked about the young talent time format, Stephen, you get all the young pretty boys of rugby league, put them through their paces almost in a pageant style to see who graduates. I see Reece Walsh as the Jamie Redfern.
Oh, look, I'm just going to say Johnny Young's young talent time. Liberace comes to Australia, goes, who's that great talent, Jamie Redfern?
It feels right now.
What did he sing? Raindrops?
I think he did. Yeah. I'd like to think that Jamie Redfern is to Reece Walsh, Peter Volandis is to Liberace.
That's right. Dressed to the max.
And Urban and Fur. We could be on something here, and it'll eventually end up with Reece hosting his own television variety show and continue the great tradition of the likes of Don Lane, Graham Kennedy, etc.
Is there a Bernard King role in this whole TV show or variety shows? I'm just trying to think who would be the right person.
I can tell you who it's not. It's not Graham Annesley.
No. We'll get to that. Somebody who's caustic and witty. Fire up back in just a moment. Talk about real stuff. State of Origin. Welcome back to Fire Up, Stephen Ferris, Chris Gale, and listen, we've just got so much to talk about during State of Origin. I'm absolutely gobsmacked, Chris. Listen, a great quote, opening line, we'll just mention Andrew Webster, who he goes, can you smell that? Nope, not teen spirit, not napalm in the morning, not even what The Rock's got cooking. Not even what Corey Parker's got cooking.
Or not cooking.
No. That was his opening line because he thinks there's going to be an upset with New South Wales against Queensland tomorrow night at Homebush.
Trading places, Stephen.
Trading places, exactly. Look, there's so many forces at play. Are you going to make a prediction?
Yeah, New South Wales 24-16.
24-16. I'll say 22-18.
To'o first try scorer.
Oh, okay. And it hasn't Jerome Luai matured?
like a cheese.
Hasn't he, what?
Yeah.
No mucking around. He's got I think, skills like Barack Obama when it comes to, you know, exciting, not exciting a crowd, but just bringing you in.
I see him as a sort of a luxuriant brie, Stephen, yeah. And there's no doubt that I'm actually due to go out to the Zurich Centre, the Tigers Centre of Excellence, later this week, and I believe we will find that there's a fromagerie being established with the arrival of Jerome next season.
Right. And look, we've often talked this year about the pernicious influence of well-being experts, you know, do-gooders, you know.
Van Kuylenberg and his cronies up with Billy Slater.
They're people whispering in people's ears, basically. Yes. You know? Yeah.
Yep.
And really making a buck out of it, you know. But this has come back via another format with the government and how it's influencing rugby league. Was PVL influencing them? I don't know. But apparently yoga instructors, martial arts makes sense, and dog handlers, oh, okay, have beaten some construction trades to a spot in the nation's draft priority skills list for migrants. So we need 100,000 or so. But why does yoga? Why yoga people? I mean, is your mate Bradley Stubbs involved? Is
he he. I don't think he's in the yoga game.
He's not putting bricklayers out of work?
No, but I mean,
cabinet makers?
I have to say, Stephen, I support the government in this initiative because there's such a demand for wellness consultants.
Yes.
There's no way we can possibly address it locally, so we're going to have to import these people.
Right.
In order to take the likes of Queensland down a pathway that will lead to their ultimate destructions.
Right. And can I bring in the sticky point here?
Mm.
Where they're going to live?
Rose Hill.
Rose Hill. See? It's symmetry, Chris.
Can you imagine? You're obviously right here. PVL has got his grubby mitts all over this.
Yeah.
They're going to bring in these yoga instructors, wellness consultants and
yeah,
the like,
yeah, yeah.
And they're all going to be in some sort of farm situation right. Out at Rose Hill.
Can't they go to Papua New Guinea? We just fly them in when we need them?
Well, there'd definitely be, I guess emergency services. There'll be a group and they'll go, bang, we're playing in Papua New Guinea this week. It's your turn. Off you go.
Off you go, right. Now, apparently, Madge Maguire, you've had experience. He was your coach for a while, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he was.
Yes. He has dumped the coach whisperer. Did you hear that?
Well, he's worked previously with Bradley Charles
Stubbs.
So he hasn't
dumped him officially.
Famously in 2014.
So. Bradley never gets dumped, does he?
No. You just move in different orbits for a while.
Just for a while.
Mm.
Okay. In exchange for the mysterious guru, Gilbert and Anoka.
Oh, yeah. That was that Johnny Depp movie, wasn't it? What's Eating Gilbert and Anoka?
Gilbert and Anoka. It says he's a process-focused guy. From what I'm reading, he's ripping off Bradley Charles Stubbs, so you think.
Well, it seems to me that there are a number of tropes that the great coach whisperer established, Stephen, that a number of secondary players have entered into the market.
Yes.
And they all seem to be preaching from the same song sheet,
right.
Which is don't focus on the result, do the process, the result looks after itself.
Is that right?
All those messages boil down to exactly the same, and it just competes away an edge. I believe Madge is not interested in this Gilbert Anoka character, but he needs to be able to neutralise what Van Kuylenberg's doing with Slater, the Ubuntu, the disc.
Of course.
We haven't heard much of Ubuntu this season, have we?
Nothing at all.
No.
And what about his track work? Who's he work with?
Gilbert?
Yeah.
Oh, a bunch of All Blacks, rugby union people.
How have they been going? Up and down?
Haven't won a World Cup in living memory.
Exactly. Now we will get to some of the other sort of, I guess, pieces of philosophy surrounding how to approach State of Origin, but I did read something that suggested that it was just forget about process and all this. It's just win. Just win, Chris. I'll get to that in a minute. Now, his set of values, this fellow Gilbert, what's eating Mr. Anoka, my set of values are simple. My word is my honour. I steal things with a handshake, and I don't steal food off the plates in hotels.
You're hired.
Hired, okay. Now, if he steals things with a handshake, that sort of begs the question, doesn't it, Chris?
He's an idiot.
Where's your contract, mate? You're out the door.
Judge, I plead my case here. Well, Mr. Anoka, you say you're owed $500,000. Can you supply me with a contract? I shook their hands, Your Honour. Get out of my court.
Yeah, that's right. And he says, this also comes to light that Stephen Crichton, the critter, keeps all handshakes that he does, and every single handshake is custom-made, bespoke,
yes,
with all of his mates. We're assuming in his team and also in the State of Origin team. That's a lot of handshakes, particularly if everyone is separate, and he remembers all of them instinctively.
So this actually extends to the Penrith Panthers. So at any one time, he's got 30 handshakes in his repertoire.
Right, right.
Presumably, you go into an Origin situation, there's only 5 Panthers there, so you've got to expand by another 15.
Yes, yes.
If anyone's doing it tough about the Teddy Tedesco situation, it's got to be Stephen Crichton.
Right, yes.
Because there's another handshake he's got to come up with.
And I think he's got a piece of music for each one. So he's got the boombox ready to go, right?
Well.
And he has to rewind the cassette fast, you know? Jerome Luai. That'll be a little bit of, you know, Tupac. Living at large or something, you know.
I mean, have a look at Cameron Kinney's go Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, exactly, yeah. Surely there's going to be a fight as to who gets any AC/DC. Surely. You know, they can't use the, what's the pen of theme tune?
Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells. They can't use that. That's been taken for the whole team. But you can, you know, who's going to fight for, I don't know, you know.
Jack Jovovich should be a whole lot of Rosie, I think.
A whole lot of Rosie. Is there a song about leaders? Follow the Leader by Eric B?
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of the master plan, yes. Which Madge has for the Blues.
Right. So Critter's going to be busy. So watch him every time there's a try, okay? Because I guess, well, they show it beforehand. Maybe Phil Gould could do a special.
Yeah, on the Crichton handshake.
The handshake, yeah. Handshakes.
The handshake felt all around the world.
Around the world, that's right. Now, Nathan Cleary, now, is he as classy as Teddy?
He's trying. Yeah. And he's a lost soul, though, Stephen.
Yeah. He's doing house calls, Chris. Did you know that?
Yeah, so well, tell me.
Yeah. Nico Hines, though he's a bit older, needed some advice because after last year's psychologically damaging, you know, what, 17 seconds?
12 minutes from 12 hell.
12 minutes, and then he's blamed for everything, right?
That's right.
Blamed for everything, the poor
including
bugger.
The cost of living.
Now we know he's
and spiralling interest rates.
Yeah, and family strife as well.
That's
you know?
Right.
So that's unfair, you know. So anyway, he's back in, and he said, Nathan, do you do house calls? I need some advice. And he said, yeah, what do you want? Do you want something to eat? You know, I've got a half-eaten sandwich, you know, I'm coming round. Well, McDonald's.
From my Blaxland Cafe.
Right. And so he said he's very grateful for the advice he was given. And that advice simply was, don't worry about anything, just win.
I was going to say.
Just win.
Nico says, I don't want to go into the details. What details? It was just win the bloody thing.
Now, we're a little bit on Nathan Watch because we know the Blues have been up at the Fairmont Resort.
Plus the Blue Mountains Grammar School.
Lura. Well, Lura is basically the pity ass end of Katoomba. And he's been hanging around, giving advice there because he's good with advice. They've also been using the local school.
He's actually been seen this morning marking up the lines on the training paddock at Blue Mountains.
You like to keep busy then.
But what's going on?
Right. So we're assuming, though, that he's not, because he lives with his mum and dad, doesn't he?
He does.
What do you call him? Evil Ivan.
Oh, Evil Ivan.
Yeah. So maybe there's something going on at home.
Ivan the Terrible.
The Terrible, isn't
Ivan the Traitor.
Right. Okay.
Ivan the Despicable.
So he's been.
Ivan the Unforgivable.
Okay. So he doesn't want to go home.
Ivan the Seriously Bad Dude.
Right. Okay.
Well, he doesn't want to go home. You know why he doesn't go home?
Yeah.
Because they've Penrith lost
two in a row.
And he's so smart enough to know.
Filthy mood.
It's just you don't want to be around dad in those circumstances.
No. Okay. So I'm assuming he's got a room at the Fairmont, like all of them.
Well, he has.
An honorary room.
Yeah, but, I mean, costs are spiralling, so he's had to vacate it because, of course, he's also got responsibilities vis-a-vis Mary Fowler, one of the successful Matildas.
So was he there last night?
So he's actually taken a storage cupboard at Acor Stadium.
Under the stadium.
He was there to support. So he's moved from Lura. Yeah. He was there to support Mary last night. He drove her to the airport this morning.
Oh, he's very busy.
Now he's back.
Yeah.
He's actually cleaning up the dressing room for the Blues, making sure all the towels are neatly folded.
Wow.
The soap and the deodorant's where you need it to be.
Right.
He's trying to make himself useful because he's scared to go home.
Okay, so when the Blues go from Fairmont at Lura to, I guess, the Novotel at Homebush?
Yeah. I don't know.
Have they got a bed for him there?
Would they?
Or he's still underneath the stadium?
Would they extend to the Pullman? Would they be that generous?
I know. Interesting. Okay.
I mean, Queensland would be the vibe.
Right. And so when New South win tomorrow night, he'll be celebrating with all the boys all night, right?
You'll see him there in amongst it.
Okay.
And don't forget me, fellas.
Right. She's like, I don't know. Could you live with Ivan?
I wouldn't choose to.
Okay.
But he hasn't got that choice.
Now, I believe that Madge has done another thing this particular year, which is very, very controversial. No boomboxes.
Well, it takes us back almost to the beginning of the episode, Stephen. The campaign to ban the tracks like Sweet Caroline from being played, not just at rugby league, but all sporting events.
Did you hear that the NRL mandatory, they gave out a cassette with all the hits?
That's right. And that's, I believe, why you're not involved.
Yeah.
Because you said, I cannot be bought.
Unless you
raise your price quite significantly.
No. And I think everybody gets a boombox when you walk into Acor.
That's right.
And everyone says, track number one, go.
Boom.
And it's immersive, Chris.
So everyone thinks, with the pantherization of New South Wales in previous years, that you're going to get your Neo Soul, Boys to Men, Usher, that type of caper.
Any trap? Trap and bounce, maybe?
That's what they thought.
Yeah.
The reality is, Madge says, what have you got for us, Jerome, this year to sort of jolly training along?
Yeah.
And he hits play, Sweet Caroline, You're the Voice, Horses, and Seven Nation Army. Right. So Madge has said, here's something for you guys to chew on, New South Wales Blues.
Yeah.
These are new traditions. we're playing, sorry, training with no boomboxes, and we've got audio of New South Wales's captain's run this morning. Well, it's the Blue Mountains and it's eerie up there, Stephen.
Yeah.
There's an evil portent going on.
If I were to ask you, Chris, what is the quintessential song representing this state, what would you say?
Representing this state?
Yeah, this state, yeah. We're talking New South Wales. We're talking, you know...
Can't Buy Me Love by the Beatles.
What have they got to do with Sydney and New South Wales? Billy Thorpe, maybe? The Angels?
Something from the Oils, maybe?
The Oils, maybe?
Yeah. Cake Island?
No, there's a song with blue in it, isn't there? Blue Sky Mine.
Yeah.
Maybe that one. Now, Billy the Frown Slater, he's quoted as saying, every decision that I've made for this footy team and this state is for this footy team and for the state. That's why I'm standing here. I'm for Queensland. I'm here for Queensland. This is Queensland's team, and sometimes there's some tough decisions to make. What is he talking about?
It shows you don't have to be smart to be a football coach.
God almighty. And
I think if I can boil that down into the essence that is Billy Slater, what he's saying there, Stephen, if I can interpret it, is I just want Queensland to be the best version of Queensland that Queensland can be.
Bloody hell. It's just confusing, isn't it? Now, I've got one last point here, Chris. They were blamed last year, New South Wales, for losing, and it wasn't purely just Nicho Hynes. It's because they were wearing dark blue jumpers.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yes.
What a debacle that was. What are they wearing this year?
They've gone back to the sky blues, Stephen, and talisman-like.
Yep.
Poor old Madge Maguire, who has a reputation for training as hard as the players to the point of throwing up, and he wanted to show how passionate he is about the sky blue jumper. He worked to a media call last week, clutching the sky blue jumper, looking at it with such passion, desire, and fervour that he actually cut his head open. And have a guess what he bled, Stephen?
Don't tell me blue.
Oh, he bled blue.
Bled blue. Kenneth Brandon couldn't do it better. Fire up. Back in just a moment.
I don't even know what a hip drop is anymore anyway, but that is a tackle, that is not a hip drop. And I don't reckon he should have got a penalty all 10 minutes in the bin.
I have no idea what a hip drop is.
Hip drops are toying with my head. And I'm not alone, it's what so many people have said. No one seems to get what makes a tackle into a hip drop. It's confusing. Graham Annesley, please explain it to me.
Not all incidents are treated the same.
Hip drops are toying with my head. I don't understand why there's one player sent to the sheds, but one stays on the field when both of them did the same hip drop. It's confusing. But Felix says, no, no, the indicators that we're using are not confusing. But Graham, why aren't hip drops improving?
Our game has tried to stamp out the hip drop textbook, David Clemmer, in the second half, and nothing happened.
I don't think Valentine Holmes was even a hip drop.
Hip drops are toying with my head. And Val Holmes' sin bin had Todd Payton seeing red when Clemmer stayed on the field. But Clem's tackle sure was a hip drop. It's confusing. The MRC gave Clemmer 3 weeks. Hip drops are toying with my head.
Hip drops are toying with my head, Chris. I totally get that. I don't want anyone to take me down with a hip drop on the street when I go shopping at Woolies.
Did you catch the Australian story about Cole Chisel last night, Steve?
I did, Chris.
Is it worth a watch?
It's pretty. It's a great pitch, a great sell for yet another tour.
Because when we had Don Walker, who was promoting his own album, Lightning in a Clear Blue Sky, here last year, which included a song about former Pot of Gold host Tommy Hanlon,
speaking about Bernard King before,
we played the first version of Hip Drops, and he said, do not underestimate the amount of thought, care and attention that went into that first line ending up as being Hip Drops are toying with my head.
Right.
And I think I speak for Dennis Carnahan where he said that's possibly the greatest accolade he's ever been paid.
Ever.
Until last week he was at a fundraiser and he played the track about Gus Gould invented rugby league, and Gus Gould was there and joined in the sing-along of the chorus, no, 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 no.
Now, I'm asking you now, Chris, does Gus have a role with PVL TV?
Look, I think...
he should if he can sing like that.
I think Gus would be what is called in television world an executive consultant.
Yeah, yes.
And he'd be an ideas factory.
Right.
Because he doesn't... He's sort of evolving. I mean, you can see 100% footy, he doesn't really want to be there.
Right.
He says, I want to go upstairs and I want to design the future. I don't want to okay. I don't want to deliver it.
One thing that did come out about Cole Chisholm is that Don definitely is the contrarian.
Yes.
He's the sane, civil... future-looking individual.
Mm.
And everyone, they said, I didn't think this. He said, no, I thought that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. I get that. And then that stony face of his.
Yeah.
Don't argue.
Could he be a future New South Wales Origin coach? Wouldn't it?
Absolutely, Chris. Gotcha. Yeah. But he's a Queenslander through and through.
Hi, this is Don Walker. You're listening to Fire Up, and this is where you get your rugby league news.
Stephen, I have some messages.
Oh, please, yeah.
You know, public service. So... just want to acknowledge that we are sponsoring the Irish Exiles Oztag teams this year, Stephen. Formed in 2022, they got 160 players across eight divisions, ranging from under 21s through the 50s. They're due to play the Australian Invitational Challenge this August in Coffs Harbour, Stephen, at CEX or Sex Stadium and surrounds. I think
nothing funny about that.
I don't think so. No. I think a field trip is in order. Yeah. We're on the shirts, the Fire Up logo of some of the teams, Stephen, and we actually have a very heartfelt message that was sent to us by the men's under 21s team.
Let's hear it.
Fire up!
That's heartfelt.
Beautiful.
A lot of passion, though. And if I can only say, can we do that one more time just for the Blues?
Fire up!
There you go. We're a home and host.
Put that on the boombox, Madge.
Put that on Madge, yeah.
And also, we are featuring four times a week on rugbyleague.com, Steve Mascord's 24/7 Rugby League station, Stephen.
Okay.
You're really worth following, and Steve doing tremendous work on all mediums. He's just such a great contributor to Rugby League. And can I just allude to the fact, Stephen, that in coming weeks there might be an announcement, which I think we'll do at the frozen yogurt store down at... Crown Street, a big sort of public event, take up the footpath space there.
Yes. It's part of Vivid, isn't it?
Fire Up might have a website with some merchandise coming, Stephen.
Fantastic. A coffee mug, I hope.
Anyway, enough of the messages. Yeah. Let's go to one of our regular segments, Stephen, from the coaches who want to dial in.
Get on the line in your time. I'm always ready to make you smile. Pick up the phone if you're alone.
I just want to know what you said at halftime.
No, you don't. it wasn't pretty, was it?
Is that the first time you've had to do one like that here?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I've done a few. You've probably only got two or three per year that you can have.
Yeah.
I've used one.
Firstly, was that Lara Pitt?
Yes.
Okay. She's good.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. And Flano, he's old school.
Well, he's funny.
He's funny, yeah. And he's dry, laconic,
yeah.
Unlike Don Walker.
And we've highlighted the humour of Shane Flanagan over the course of this season, and it may well be worth putting an anthology together, Stephen, because he is going out on the road in the summer months with Hannah Gadsby as a double act.
Fantastic.
Comedy act, Australian style.
I don't know who I prefer, Chris, but there you go. And so the very pertinent point is, what is a spray, Chris? Define the spray in rugby league.
So spray is a phenomenon in rugby league that pertains to coaches where essentially they lose their minds,
lose
Stephen,
their block.
And they break all the conventions around human connection and understanding, respect, loyalty, and genuine affection and stewardship.
Not to mention good manners.
Yeah, and they basically call their players every name under the sun.
Now,
none of them are complimentary.
Right, and how does that work with the slowly diluting process of offensive language? These days you can say those words, no problems. Is there a word we can go to after the C word? I don't think there is.
Yes,
except it's on the germ or grubs or
well, and yet paradoxically, while we hear this language in mainstream media much more than we used to,
yes.
I mean, Graham Kennedy does a crow call, fuck, and he's taken off television screens.
That's right.
Now it's just de rigueur. Interestingly enough, the paradox is that you can't say these things as frequently as you do, and so the spray still works,
right, okay,
provided you limit the number of sprays.
Okay, so you're telling me now up until this point that Flano's taken over the team, which would have been the end of last year, mm-hmm. he hasn't used any F-bombs.
No.
No, and he hasn't insulted any of the players. He's been cuddly and warm and friendly. Because he looked funny last week when he said, I can't cope with his head on the ground, because it was a big loss.
Yeah, it was just drama.
And then this week, he let rip with a spray at halftime, and we were 10 points down.
Against the preschool Panthers.
Don't call them that. We both had players out, Chris, don't
Some
you?
Some of those kids were straight from high school.
Same with us too. Yeah. Same with us. Don't you worry about it. Two equal teams playing each other. The top of the field for 3 years, the Panthers, Penrith Panthers, and St George Illawarra. And if I could say one thing to you, Chris, my prediction is that St George Illawarra are the Stephen Bradbury of NRL.
Yeah.
Everything else is going to fall apart. We'll just skate on through at the end. What do you reckon?
I don't know. They just remind me of ping pong of diplomacy. They go up, they go down, they go back, they go forth. But the interesting thing was Fano said, I've only got two or three of those in me.
We didn't know that.
Right. Well, what that's uncovered is, even though the language is more ubiquitous, the impact of the spray is limited.
Yep.
So through the collective bargaining agreement.
For 1 year.
Yeah, the Rugby League Players Association has negotiated you can only have five sprays.
Five sprays?
And the referees union has been brought in.
Yeah.
So you've got the option of five sprays total.
Total.
Maximum five. Maximum, I think, if I understand this correctly, four on either the players or the referees.
Oh.
But you can't do all five on one group.
Right.
So it looks like he's allocated two or three to the players.
Well, given that it's the first Origin week, we're nearly halfway through the year.
Right. And the interesting thing about this, Stephen, is from the players' perspective, because given that it's so overt now that there's a limited number of them, they've actually put in an agreement it's going to work.
Yeah.
That's right. So even they know it's coming and they know they're not going to get too many more, it still works.
And they're self-aware.
Very
individuals,
self-aware.
Yeah. But it still works each time.
Rugby League is meta.
And how many points did St George put on Penrith in that second half, Chris?
22.
22 points.
Which is not as much as the 38 that Canterbury put on you the previous week in the second half.
Don't even mention the Roosters.
That's
right?
What I mean. It's like
Don't
a ping pong match.
Now, can I just say, talking about the media and how forensically we pulled it apart, I saw yet again that headline, the high-flying Roosters. Now, I say to you, Chris, when they say the Dragons breathe fire, I go, sure, every kid gets that. Or the Panthers and Tigers growl. And then even the Eels slither, you know. But can the flying Roosters fly high? And do they fly at all? Or do they just strut, Chris?
I love it. The Kiwi, they're basically a flightless bird, Roosters, aren't they?
I think they are. But somehow they can get on top of a roof. So they must be able to get up a little bit.
So I think the media needs to lift a game. I accept strutting Roosters. I don't accept high flying.
Right, right. Were you there at their last game?
I was.
You were there. And that was at Allianz?
Yes.
Is that place that nearly cost $1 billion just for that one team?
Apparently it's just their home.
Just their home.
No other rugby league team welcome.
That doesn't seem right, Chris.
It doesn't seem like a good allocation of public money, does it, Steve?
No, why not share it around a bit, you know? Have I said that before?
We built on state funds a state-of-the-art facility for the eastern suburbs.
Sorry, you've got a soccer team that Hardy plays there. I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah, and the Waratahs, Wooden Spooners.
Who's the Wooden Look, the Rebels are gone. Won't they be gone soon? And then it's just them.
Yes.
Yeah. They can run around naked. No one notice or care.
In splendid isolation, Stephen, the Roosters are the Ozymandias of rugby league.
Now, they lost the other night, didn't they?
They did. They squandered a lead in the second half.
Right.
And there were a lot of disgruntled fans, Stephen.
How disgruntled are we talking?
Well, there was, again, infighting, which always happens when they lose. The security guards and police were brought in. Of course, I turned around to my Roosters fans that I'm forced to sit with as part of the community service order. Yeah. They're all gone.
They're gone.
They don't even, when they lose.
And do they sneak out quietly?
They're gone. Yes.
Yeah.
Like gossamer.
And can I just suggest that they're wearing, as bought from Double Bay somewhere, some little pink deer sort of material sort of slip-ons.
That's right. So there's no squish. Socks. There's no squish sound, right? And they just glide out. And so, like, these are my friends, my compatriots, my colleagues, Stephen. And I turn around to go, hard luck, better luck next week. They've all gone, right? Because they've lost.
Silence.
Without near a goodbye to your mate. You know, that's the way it is, the Roosters. But they were disgruntled, Stephen. And
well, that's not going to also help Merivale either, is it?
So much so, when I was walking back to my vehicle, I had to negotiate the never-ending Tibby Cotter Bridge.
Yes.
And there were two large piles in the middle of the bridge, strategically placed, of what I thought might have been animal dung.
So this is award-winning architecture?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
So a couple of animals have...
drop their load.
To take a dump. But now when I think that Mrs.
Not your mace.
Well, when Mrs. Parker described Corey as being an animal.
Is this a protest vote?
I think this is Roosters fans letting everybody know what they think about Jerry Sutton as a referee and their team, including Jerry Manu's poor performance at fullback and Dominic Young ruining the game from the wing position.
They're, what's the word? What's that? Entitled sort of. They want to win, Chris. Is there anything wrong with that?
That's the best way you can describe a Roosters fan. Yeah. They'll just go wherever they want to.
Go wherever they want. Now, did you hear, or did you tell me that I heard something about what goes on in North Korea?
I think that was Mash, our producer.
Yeah. And something about they decided, because they hate South Korea. Much like when the Roosters would play the Rabbitohs, right?
That's right. Right?
And
Book
so
of feuds.
They find ways around not starting a war, you know, by not letting off bombs and stuff, but other sneaky little ways. And one of them was to fill balloons. And I don't know how you fill a balloon with excrement, Chris. Well, I don't know how that's done.
Those weather balloons, they're a bit more robust.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And they float them up.
Yep.
And they blow them with a fan over the border. What's that? Demilitarized zone. You've been there, haven't you?
The DMZ, yeah.
Have you seen this? Have you witnessed this?
Well, no, but I've been there twice. I want to go back a third time to see this in action.
Happens, yeah. And then what do? They get out air rifles.
Ping them.
Pop. Down it goes.
Right on top.
Cop that.
Right
Cop
on
that.
Top. Not a bad idea for game three.
No.
Get some blue balloons over Suncor.
Wow.
But I tell you what, though, that idea, maybe this is how we sort of de-escalate the Book of Feuds, is build a demilitarized zone down Anzac Parade, Stephen.
People see them hollering, quick kids, get in the car. Let's go.
Snipers and barbed wire.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
The minute that you see a Rooster's jumper in Matraville, boom.
Boom. Yeah.
That is sorted
wrong,
out.
What's wrong, officer? It's only an air rifle. What have I done wrong? Yeah, beautiful. Wow. Now, that just takes it to a higher level, doesn't it, the feuding going on. So I see that Dom Young, yes. Joey Manu, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Dud Games, right?
Jarrell Weir Hargraves.
Oh, yeah, he's off.
Yeah.
And did he got penalised for something? I mean,
we should
report,
do.
Didn't you?
We should do.
Just for being alive. Okay, all right.
Just for being an animal.
And tell me this, the Roosters fans, they were furious when Teddy was in the team. And they were also, previously, they were furious when he was out.
It was never going to end well on Sunday, Stephen, because they were absolutely gobsmacked that Teddy had been overlooked for Dylan Edwards for the Origin team. They were furious. Compounding that fury was arriving on Sunday afternoon to the news that Teddy is unable to represent them against the FNQ Cowboys, but was now playing for New South Wales. So it was anger upon anger. And the mindset was negative, and it affects the players, Stephen. They just felt it.
What's the resolution to that?
Well, they would
say... A wellness guru?
Exactly.
Is that right? Is that Anoka chap?
He's going to be needing work afterwards. And, I mean, if you get one of those discount things on your members' email saying, look, sign up here and you get Gilbert for a cut rate and you'll feel better about yourself.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to get a discount just because Teddy's not playing, but we'll give you a little bit of a wellness session, maybe a session, you know.
And I tell you what, if Teddy gets injured, God forbid.
Oh. Don't even start, Chris. Please don't start. Now, we've talked a lot about those names in rugby league and how sort of the grading goes. You know, we talk about Pest was the original one. You know, Mick Ennis was the greatest Pest. And look at him, he's a high flyer now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a legend. He's a commentator.
Now, I was watching...
potentially part of PVL TV.
Totally.
Now, depending on what Gus decides.
Canterbury Bankstown. There's this guy with a headgear on. I'm going, who's that little mutt again?
The Chihuahua.
What's his name? The Chihuahua. That's right, yeah.
Reed Marnie.
God, he's a pest, isn't he? He just gets right under your skin, doesn't he? And we're not even out there.
But some Origin legend thinks that this is a problem, Stephen.
Right.
About Reed Marnie, a chance of playing Origin football this year. He's on the verge of playing Origin football. I should be talking about his kicking game the other night. It was sensational. But if I say Reed Marnie, everyone just goes, oh, yeah, he's a pest. He gets under people's skin. Mm. It takes away from his great play. Now, when you finish, does he want his legacy to people say, oh, yeah, he was a grub? You want to talk about how tough he was, what a great defender. His kicking game the other night was outstanding. I think he's on the verge of playing State of Origin. I don't think he needs to do that rubbish.
Look, it's a fresh take, Chris, no doubt about it. But I think in the long run, how did Ennis get his job? Because he was a pest.
There is no way that Michael Ennis's achievements on the rugby league field would see him currently in the employ of the Fox organisation.
Because normally they get the immortals and the greats.
It was the fact that he was a pest deluxe. He was simply the pest, as Dennis would put it. And Reed Marnie is well advised to ignore Origin great Joey Johns, the eighth immortal, and keep up the grubbiness. And because the way that Saifidi reacted leading with his head in the Newcastle defeat to the Bulldogs 32-2.
Well, he's a double threat, isn't he?
It's terrific stuff.
Pest, nuisance, and also reasonably good player.
Yes, and he's the type of player we need, Stephen.
Mm.
We don't need any of these... You know, anodyne lacking personality, cookie-cutter players that play the game as it was intended by the rules.
Exactly. Now, you may have heard the other day, of course, when Dylan Edwards was injured, that he squealed out, "I've done me quad!" Right? And that's what we heard from the Fox the other night during Canterbury Bankstown. Said, "I've done me hammy!" Well, who hasn't?
Well, it's an oft-heard refrain this season.
What do they call that, the waiting list at the emergency room? You know, rugby league's just chock-a-block now.
And then just because the time zone's different, Stephen, next to his bed over in Philadelphia, and he leaves his phone on, and all Billy Knowles hears is a cha-ching sign, another hammy coming my way.
That's it. Chris, I'm very excited about tomorrow night. You'll be there?
I will be there, Steve.
Oh, I hope I'll be there too.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab.
Fire!